clean and useful.
Chapter 2, verses 19 through 22 sets the theme the morning service, continuing to look forward to our expanded program in the coming months and years as we rise to new challenges. We're going to see what the Word of God says about our being a vessel which is clean, therefore useful to God. Following the reading of Scripture, Brother Larry Halstead is going to be the one who leads us in prayer. 2 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 19. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness. Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue after righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 is the verse you might like to turn to at this time. Hold it open. This morning I'm not going to be working with a long section of Scripture, but rather a short one. Verse 21 is the proposition of the message today. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. I'm going to read that again for those of you who do not have a copy of the New Testament with you, before you. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, because he's sanctified, will be useful to the master, prepared for every good work. The context of 2 Timothy 2 is an admonition from Paul to the young preacher to be strong in the grace, to be an unashamed workman, to be one who knows what he's saying, knows what he's doing, knows what he believes, and one who, in order to put that into use, in order to make that usable for the master, cleanses himself. We have introduced in this chapter and explained in verse 21 one of the most basic principles of Christian service. One of the things that is, if I were going to use the Latin, sine non quo, that is, that without which not. In other words, there are certain things without which other things cannot exist. A sine non quo, for instance, of bread is flour. You follow me? An essential. You do not have flour, you do not have bread. If you do not have love, you do not have harmony. There are basic essentials, and if you remove these essentials, other things become impossible. What we're talking about as we approach our fall program, our master plan for the master's plan, thing we're going to introduce tonight in our fellowship supper, as we're talking about this, what we're talking about is what is described in verse 21 as being useful to the master, prepared for every good work. You got that? Be useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And if we are going to accomplish that, if we are going to be useful to the master, prepared for every good work, there are basic essentials, and verse 21 explains one of them, and that is that we be a man who has cleansed himself, and by having cleansed himself, become a honorable vessel, sanctified, and therefore useful to the master, prepared for every good work. That is that God cannot use us unless our life is right. Before God is going to use us, something's going to have to happen in us. We can never lead men where we ourselves have not gone. And we cannot teach men to be what we ourselves are not interested in being. Now, we are never going to be used by the master unless we're prepared. I want to speak frankly. There's no need, of course, my preaching. I'm not going to speak of things as they are. I'm very optimistic about our fall program. I'm thrilled about it. The elders are behind it 100%, and their thinking is reflected in it. More than that, their faith is reflected in it. But none of us have any illusions about this. I've been in the ministry too long to have any childish, naive illusions. I am I know that there are going to be certain people, certain kinds of people who are going to respond, who are going to shoulder the load, and who are going to make the thing go. Also, realistic enough to know that there are going to be certain ones who are going to sit on the sidelines and watch things happen and never really understand what's going on. I don't know who's going to be in which crowd, but my experience tells me that's the way it's just going to be. And the difference is going to be this, that there are going to be a certain number of people who care enough to allow themselves to be prepared, and they're going to be used because they were prepared. Something happened in their life. Basic decisions were made. Perhaps a life is cleaned up that needed to be cleaned up. Restitution may have been made where it needed to be made. Repentance worked in a life. And because it was prepared, it was used. That's the difference between a person being used and being not used of God. A person is prepared, sanctified, and ready. God will use him. It's not, God won't. Now, there are two basic propositions in verse 21. The first one is this. If a man cleanses himself, get that? If a man cleanses himself, I would underline first of all the word himself. This points to our basic responsibility. The choice is ours. We all have simple but astounding decisions to make. Whether or not we are used of the Master, whether or not people are won because of us and through us, whether or not we grow from being learners in certain areas to leaders in certain areas, will depend upon us. Upon our choice. God will never cause us to be that which we have never chosen to be. And unless there are some earth-shaking decisions along the way, we are not going to be used of God. We are going to have to make up our minds to be used of God. Note this, if a man cleanses himself, I'm not going to get into a long study of how this does, but we understand how this works. We understand the basic proposition. If a man cleanses himself, the choice is ours. We're going to be what we decide to be, nothing more. And if we decide to be used of God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let no man say, I can do nothing. But if we cleanse ourselves, it's up to us, you see. Ultimately, it's up to us. God has never saved anybody against his will. God has never used anybody against his will, not in this matter of personal salvation. The man cleanses himself. Next, I would underline the word cleanses. We could spend two or three messages talking about this. Cleansing involves three things. It involves repentance, it involves restitution, if necessary, it involves resolution. The man cleanses himself. He's going to have to change his mind. If before a man or a woman had been of a mind to not do, to sit by, to be served rather than to serve, to refuse to minister, then they're going to have to change their mind. Did y'all get that? I'll run that by you again. This matter of cleansing involves a repentance. Repentance means a changing of the mind. If before we have never really served the Lord in a way that we could serve the Lord, and because we have never really made up our mind to do it, we're going to have to simply change our mind. Now, that's as simple as I know how to make it. There's going to have to be some minds changed. It involves restitution. God is not going to use us unless we stand before him honestly. God cannot use dirty vessels. He will not use dirty vessels. He's a bigger God than that. God will not compromise himself. If there are things which need to be made right, the biblical doctrine of restitution, if you bring your gift to the altar and your brother has aught against you, you've wronged somebody, you need to make it right, leave your gift at the altar, go make things right, then come and pray. And whether or not we go forward for the Master in the coming months and years may very well determine upon our willingness to put our pride in our back pocket and make some things right that need to be made right. Restitution. There might have to be some forgiving done. Things are going to have to be made right if it's within our power. Then resolution. Repentance, restitution, resolution involving this thing of cleansing. The real heartfelt determination to live and to be different. The decision. Well, we simply cannot lead, as I said, where we have not been and will not go. You see, this dying world is crying out not for a better explanation of Christian doctrine. Now listen to me, brothers and sisters. What this world is dying to see, what this world has got to see, if men and women and boys and girls are going to obey the gospel, is not a more articulate expression of the Word of God. We do not need better books written on Christian doctrine. Enough have already been written, sometimes too many. We do not need more preachers who know more $3 words, like Sidney Nonquo, to tell us in a more precise way the doctrines of New Testament Christianity. We emphasized last week this matter of learning as we searched the scriptures from Ephesians or from Philippians, and we saw that there's a very important premium placed upon this matter of learning, of growing beyond the pabulum stage of Christianity, going to the meat stage of understanding the doctrine of God. But if that's all we do, if our Bible Institute program, which is the foundation of our church program in the coming years, which informs us, which teaches us, which gives us an actual knowledge of what God actually says, if it never goes beyond that, if it continues to be merely an academic exercise, then our knowledge will rise up in judgment and condemn us. The world is not dying for a better explanation of Christianity. The world is dying to see somebody live it. The world is not dying for a better book on prayer. The world is dying to see someone who knows what it is to pray. The world does not need a better explanation of love. The world needs somebody to love them. The world does not need one more glowing tribute to Christ. The world needs somebody to go tell them about him. But all this will be impossible unless a man cleanses himself. But if a man cleanses himself, the first part of the verse says, the last part says this, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful. Now we go to the verse before to understand what he's talking about, this thing of being a vessel for honor. He explains in verse 29, in a large house, in a household, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Note the illustration the apostle uses to the young preacher. He says, now you go into the house, you've got two kinds of vessels. You've got silver and gold vessels, which are locked away in your antique china closet, and they're expensive, and you only get them out when you're having a VIP or your mother-in-law over to eat. Now, you've got the everyday vessels, earthenware, pottery, the kind you put everyday things in. That's where you put your dishwater. That's what you carry the garbage out in. That's what you put the grits in. Now, if you're serving filet mignon, you put that in the vessels of silver and gold. If you're serving grits, you put it in earthenware. Y'all get that? Now, you all know this. All you ladies have everyday cookware. Our everyday plates and silverware, and but you've got your crystal, most of us, you see, and you bring that out when somebody comes. We understand what he says. Vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. He doesn't mean of ill repute. He simply means less honor. Now, if we cleanse ourselves, we will cease to be the pottery, the earthenware, and we will become the vessels of gold and silver. That is, we will be vessels for honor, sanctified, and useful. This is fitting. If an honored guest comes to our house, we serve him with vessels, which are the best that we have. Isn't that right? That's protocol. And this is exactly what verses 20 and 21 are teaching. If we are determined to serve Jesus, if it is He who is going to be Lord, if He is our Master, how dare we serve Him with anything but the best? How dare we trot out the broken, chipped, cheap earthenware vessels with which to serve Jesus? Either we serve Him with the best, or we had better not serve Him at all. Either we give Him the finest kind of service, either we pay the price to make ourselves vessels of honor, or we might as well forget the whole thing, because it is the Son of God that we are serving, and we cannot treat Him that way. And He is our friend, but He is also King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He will not be treated that way. Christ will not be honored by secondhand service. He will not be honored by the cheap and the tawdry. He will not be honored by anything less than our best. Now, we all know that our best, the best that we have, varies. Some people have things which are better than others. But whatever we are, whatever we have, whoever we are, whatever our station in life, whatever that are the talents that God has given us, whatever our abilities, that measures our responsibilities, and whatever our best is, Jesus wants it, he deserves it. And if we sanctify ourselves, we'll become a vessel of honor, one of these honorable vessels. You see, too long we've served Jesus with this any old thing. Now, as I say, if you're going to serve a hobo who comes to the back door, you can serve him on any old thing. But not Jesus. Too long we've let the church, we've let the kingdom get by on any old thing. Remind the time when they were rebuilding, when the revival kings of the Southern Empire were rebuilding and the temple was standing in ruins and the people were living it up. The king said, too long, something's wrong here. So we're living in paneled houses and the Lord's house is in ruins. And this certainly applies to more than church buildings, but it involves our efforts, our lives, our priorities. Listen, we are not going to do anything for God unless we give him our best. And the scraps of time, the scraps of our money, the scraps of our concern simply will not get the job done. It never has got the job done. We need to be a vessel that's honorable. See, a vessel that is, and note this word, sanctified. If we cleanse ourselves, follow me? If we, first of all, we've seen that the responsibility is ours. If we cleanse ourselves, it's our choice. The cleansing involves repentance. It involves restitution if necessary. It involves a resolution to serve God. Then we can be an honorable vessel. We can be like the gold and silver vessel. We will be fit vessels for the master's use. Then and only then. Now, this word sanctified means set apart. That's all that it means. The picture continues here. You have your sanctified vessels. As I said, this word means put apart for a particular purpose. That's what you ladies do with your crystal, isn't it? You don't serve the kids their lunch, their noon milk in your crystal. You serve it in plastic glasses. You do it at our house anyway, or paper cups, or at least cheap glass. But our crystal is sanctified. Why is it sanctified? It's put aside for a special occasion. And that's all he's saying here. We become honored vessels, sanctified. That is, drawn apart from the world, we are special. Hear me. We are going to go forward for Christ when we see that our lives have a set aside, a sanctified quality about them. When we view ourselves as being honored vessels, when we say to the world, no, I will not be involved in that. I will not give myself to that. Why? Because I belong to Jesus. I will not allow my life to be cheapened. I will not allow my life to be marked down and put in the bargain basement. I'm special, not because of what I am, but because of where I am, and that's in Christ. My life will not be brought down to be made common and dirty and unclean and worldly. Why? Because my life is a life that is marching to a different drummer. I belong to Jesus. I must be involved in the Master's plan. Therefore, my life must be set aside. I must be different. Now that's exactly what that word teaches. We will be vessels of honor, that is set aside, sanctified for a particular work. Until that happens, not very much is going to be done for God. The alternative he explains in the text is to be a dishonorable vessel, that is, earthenware, common, or wood. Now, one of the problems with the old earthenware and wooden vessels were that they were very porous. One of the reasons we do not drink from wooden vessels is because it's impossible to get a wooden vessel clean. One of the reasons that we do not use, that we've tried to outgrow the old pewter, the old cheaper earthenware materials and cookware and tableware, rather than and try to come up with things like porcelain, things which are very, very dense is because the old porous materials could never be got clean, you see. And some substances, if you put one substance in a wooden or an earthenware vessel, you could taste it from then on. You could never get it clean. In fact, in the ancient Near East, in the context, and this is the illustration he's using, they would use very cheap vessels, earthenware, pottery, and sometimes they would be made only to be used once. It would be used to store wine or to store some food product. But once it was poured out, because of the old earthenware was so porous, it could never be used again. But no matter what you put in, it always tastes like what was in it first. And they'd throw it out. And the archaeologists, by the way, have dug down and found mountains, literally mountains, of this old pottery that had been thrown out because it could not be used again. And it's very distasteful, the whole thought. I was having a revival one time. I wouldn't hurt these people for the world, wonderful people. It was not here, it's a long way off. And they invited us over for the evening meal, and the young couple just married, and she wanted to know if I wanted coffee. I said, well, you know what I said. And she said, well, I never made coffee before. We don't drink coffee, but I got a new coffee pot, and I'll make you some coffee. And I was the only one who drank coffee, and so I was the only one who knew. I never said a word. First for 9 minutes to anybody. You know how a coffee pot is the first time you use it? You don't boil it out first. It tasted like everything, every hand that ever touched it. I got a little bit of detergent, a little bit of crude oil, a little bit of aluminum. I don't know what all I got in that thing. Everything there been in that thing, I got it in one cup. You would have admired my fortitude as I sat there and drank that coffee with a perfectly straight face. That had to be the most distasteful thing I ever drank in my life. I did not drink the coffee, I drank the pot. And that's exactly why vessels are dishonorable. That's what an earthenware vessel is. You had to throw them away because after you'd used them once, you didn't drink the buttermilk, you drank the pot. Now what this means is that if we are content, now listen to me, if we are content to be a dishonorable vessel, anybody can be that. If we want to be an earthenware or a wooden vessel, verse 20, it's going to be very easy. All we have to do is nothing. We can get by being an earthenware or a wooden vessel. But nobody's life is going to be changed. We're not going to win anybody to Christ simply because people are not going to taste anything but us. Get that? They're not going to be able to see the pure and majestic Christ because we are an earthenware vessel and it's too much of us. We become an honorable vessel when we can be cleansed of self. We no longer live the Christ that is in us, and people can look at us and not see us, but see Christ. People are very funny. One of the reasons we haven't been winning more is because people drinking from our vessel have been drinking the pot. See, that's the difference between an honorable vessel and a dishonorable vessel. We become an honorable vessel, listen, when we're cleansed of self, and we no longer live, and Christ lives in us, and this fits with God's ultimate intention, that we would be conformed to the image of His Son. You see, an honorable vessel, gold and silver, is very expensive, because you can clean it, but anything you want into it, it can be used to present something other than itself. And that's what we're going to have to be. If we cleanse ourselves, we're going to be a vessel of honor, sanctified, set apart for a particular work and ministry, useful. Well, I hope you understand the message this morning. Paul is teaching that if we, through our carelessness, through our lack of concern, through the absence of a prayer life, if we rely on being a vessel that is made of wood or earthenware, then we're not useful to them. And they didn't have to do with us what those who Paul wrote did with the word of prayer and the message, and they were used to serve them. And they were used to do.
not going to be enough for us just to be busy. We're going to have to stand with the Lord's community before we get out of the business. Please make our lives like God wants us to do. We have no idea about it. We are working silently. We can be now doing things that are magnificent. Oh, God. We don't need to.